Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you can still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Sing one song together, but when I was thinking about things that were brought up in that video, and even as we think about celebrating Mother's Day, and what are those true character values? What are the things that we really, what are the things we miss? What are the things we long for? What are the things that are enduring and life-changing? And a lot of it has to do with the generosity that we get from our nurturing and mothering God. And So the song we're going to sing, we've sung frequently here, it's called Generous God. It's by Gina Olison and Dee Wilson. And it talks all about how God is our generous God and God gives us life. And that God does exceedingly more than we can ask or ever imagine. And when I think about that nurturing spirit, whether it's whether it is your biological mom, whether it's somebody who's stepped in your life and nurtured, it's usually something that's come above and beyond what we ever asked for. And so I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you do want to sing and you're feeling like that is the best way to walk through this. Maybe this is going to be a little moment of grieving for you. Maybe it's going to be all of the above, but I know that oftentimes for me, being able to sing something often helps see me through the things that are hard. It can give words to the things that are beautiful. So if you want to look up the lyrics and sing together, you can. If you just want to listen along, you can.
Generous God, giver of life, devilry good and perfect gift. With arms open wide, we come to receive from you, because we know that you are generous. Generous God, giver of life, and every good and perfect gift. With arms open wide, we come to receive from you, because we know that you do exceedingly so much more than we could ask, believe, or imagine. For you are generous with your lavish love, pouring out on us unending. Generous God, giver of life, and every good and perfect gift. With arms open wide, we come to receive from you, because we know that you are.
Let's sing that again, generous.
You're generous, God, giver of life, and every good and perfect gift. With arms open wide, we come to receive from you, because we know that you do exceedingly so much more than we could ask, believe, or imagine. For you are generous with your lavish love, pouring down on us unending. You do exceedingly so much more than we could ask, believe, or imagine. with your lavish love, you're pouring out on us unending. Pour it out on us. You pour it out on us unending. You pour it out on us. You pour it out on us unending. Generous God, giver of life, every good and perfect gift, with arms open wide, come to receive from you, cause we know that you, generous God, giver of life. You do exceedingly so much more than we could ask, believe, or imagine. You are generous with your lavish love, pouring out on us unending. Pour it out on us.
Today too is that we can see generous God pouring out on us, and we get to receive that. It's open, it's free for us all the time. It's something living and acting already within us. And so sometimes even that act of just saying that out loud, pouring it out, you know, it lets us know that we have the choice to say yes to that or say no to that. Generous God, you're the giver of life, every good and perfect gift. With arms open wide, we come to receive from you, cause we know that you are generous. You are generous with us. To share with you before Chris steps up. This is from Caitlin Curtis. She's an author and a speaker, and she wrote this beautiful prayer to share, and it's to our Mother Mystery. So here it is. Mother Mystery, teach us to be like goddesses. Unwavering in grace, love and kindness. We are being fixed so tightly to beauty that we become fierce truth tellers against every injustice. Make us holy as we reach for the divine in ourselves and in those around us. May we long for your presence and linger in the spaces where sacred solidarity and tender wholeness meet. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks, Nick. One thing that we hear often from people who are watching is that the hearing of some, like Steve and Nikki, singing, how it just feels right. It feels right because of the beautiful voice, but it feels right because it speaks to what is true. And anytime that, and I hope you guys are sick of me saying this, anytime that love is withdrawn from us, that's heaven. And so feeling that and experiencing that in a poem, in a song, in a laughter, in a video, all that's good. All of it's beautiful and all of it belongs. So today we celebrate the women in our lives. We celebrate the women. And one of my favorite commercials, obviously that's where I was going, is called Like a Girl. And they bring in these teenage girls and a couple of guys, a couple of boys, and they bring them in. They say, hey, we're going to say something to you and we want you to respond or say the first thing that comes to your mind. So first, probably like this 14, 15-year-old girl, and the director says, run like a girl. And so she begins to run all dainty and smiley, and they ask the same question to multiple of these teenage girls, and they all do the same thing, with their hands up, running. Then they say, all right, throw like a girl. And so they all, you know, all gently and all smiley. They say, fight like a girl, and they pretty much all do the same thing, like smile, put their hands up, pretending like to scratch somebody, but all giggling while doing it. Then they bring in these little girls, like 5 to 8-year-old girls, and they say the same thing, run like a girl. And the first girl, she put her head down, her chin like this, and you could see this fierceness inside of her. And she runs in place like she's run, like she stole something. And they show all these little girls just running, boom, 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 as fast as they can. And they say, throw like a girl. They get this pretend ball and they throw, and they say, fight like a girl. And the first girl throws this haymaker like she's beating the devil. And it's amazing. And what they're advocating, that when girls hit puberty, that their confidence goes down and that they feel, again, not a girl, so I don't know, but they share that how they feel like they have to play to this role of what it means to be a girl. That to be a girl is somehow to make this boy or this man feel safe. And this is what we have to do in order to be seen or to be celebrated, is play this role instead of throwing like a girl. Because you never say, oh, throw like a boy, right? We just say, throw the ball. And there's this one older teenager that talked on it. And she said, yeah, I throw like a girl. I run like a girl. I also lead like a girl. And I wake up a girl because I am a girl. And I love this because I have a fierce, strong, wonderful daughter. And I want to see her. I want to see Eileen. I want to see my nieces. I want to see Adia and Anwen. I want to see Freya, Fantasla. I want to see these girls grow up to be the fullness of who they are, instead of having to pretend or play a role because it makes someone else feel safe. And like, we obviously here believe that everyone belongs, and that there's no difference between Nikki and I, between a man and a woman. Of course, we believe that. We can have different values. We can see things. We should see things differently, but we are still equal. And again, I'm not a woman, but I have ears and I have eyes, and I could see that our lived experiences can be very different, and that there is unfairness. There is something different for how a woman walks into a boardroom, or a woman has to walk thinking about walking to her car, things that men, that we just don't even have to think about. I mean, think about, like, we can use data. It is proven that the difference between what a man makes and a woman who has the same experience, the same education, doing the same job, men make more, right?
Why? Because we have a system that has benefited men forever, right? Forever. It was only, what, 50 years ago, Nikki, that the Equal Rights Agenda came out? Only 50 years where they said, yeah, okay, maybe men and women can be equal, even just to some degree. And it gets even more complex. If you just take women and you break it down to what an Indigenous woman makes to a man, to what a Black or brown woman makes to a man, about what someone who identifies as a woman compared to a man. Like, it just gets messy. There's the Billy Graham rule that I used. I'm honest, Nikki and I agreed that I was not gonna ever ride in a car with a woman. I was never gonna be alone in a public place with a woman, which here's the problem with that though, is that sets up access to me, and I'm pretty great, right? But the access that my leaders and my staff who are male significantly had more opportunities, significantly had more chances to connect and to learn from the great Chris Sauter versus my female leaders and pastors. Because Brandon Masiga could go in a car with me and drive to the conference where I'm speaking or this thing. Well, Stephanie had to ride in a different car. And that just limits women's opportunities. Never heard about a glass ceiling for men before. Anytime a woman's running for office, we have to talk about likability and votability, and can they break the glass ceiling? But here's the thing. I believe that the divine lives in all things, that we experience the divine through a song, through John Prine, through a sunset, through a great meal, through laughter, through a book, through the Bible. We get to experience God, and that the divine is in you. And the more that we can hear people's voices, the more we can recognize different lived experiences, the more that we can hear and see the stories from women and how they view the world, of how, what solutions they bring to the table, how they lead, right? It might look different than me or someone else, but the more we have people at the table, the more lived experiences, the bigger picture we get to see of this good and beautiful God. Because it's interesting that women do see the world differently, right, than men, because our lived experiences are different. I was talking with there's two couples getting married, love in a pandemic, baby, right? They get married in the summer, and it's Joyce and Jaden and Micah and Stephanie, who I know are watching right now, and they're getting married this June. I wish that you guys could like be here and make a sound. We can clap for them and encourage them. You know what I realized? Pause, is that I am not a hugger. And just like this morning, I'm like, I really miss hugs. And that took me, what, 6-7 weeks to get there? So I guess we all get there. I wish I could hug those couples. But we were talking about the same thing, and how, and this is not like true for all men or all women, but historically, right? I've not seen a lot of women have midlife crisis. I've seen a lot of men. And this is why. Men, we ascend in our 20s and 30s, in our careers, in our bodies. What we put our mind to is what we call it, pull ourselves by bootstraps, because the system has been set up by us, for us, to keep it beneficial for us. So we might not see it. We might not intentionally say, oh, of course the system benefits me, but it does. So we ascend, and we can push through pain. We can push through long hours. We can use our bodies to get the things that we want, and our leadership, whatever word you want to use it. But we can experience pain, but in a different way than a woman. I'll get to that in a second. But something happens when you get to your 40s or 50s, because life is always behind you. Life is always behind you. You don't have to worry about slowing down. You don't have to worry about your mental health. You don't have to worry about working through those things that happened to you as a kid. You don't have to worry about giving your body rest and taking care of it. Why? Because I'm moving up that ladder, baby. So what happens is, when life is back here and moves into the peripherals, when it moves a little bit ahead of you, all of a sudden you realize, oh, my body is telling me I need to slow down. Ooh, my mental health is telling me that there's something going on. It tells me maybe I can't move or be or exist like I did in my 20s and 30s. And if you don't take time to recognize that, if you don't take time to see that you are going to die, you're going to realize there's going to be a different season of your life. That's a pain. And a lot of men have never had to deal with that kind of pain. And so what do they do? They get a new haircut. They get a new partner. They get a new career. They get a new car. I've seen this before. I've even at times like felt it. I'm like, maybe I need to change things up. Why? Because we think back then is when I had value. Back then is the good stuff. Back then I could kick butt and take names. And now I'm older, I'm slower, and I need help, right? It disrupts them. But see, I don't know if you remember this, Nikki. Nikki and I talked about this a couple of years ago. And Nikki's like, yeah, you know why? Do you remember this, the conversation? She said, you know why? Because you men experience pain differently than women. Women don't have a choice. Every month, every month their body is healthy. And what does it do in their cycle? It brings pain and it demands that you stop. It demands that you pause. You can't just push through it. You can't just avoid it. You have to. Every month, Chris, we deal with this pain. And then take that. That's a big one. Then that they can bring life, that brings pain, and there's beauty and life that comes from it, but it's still pain and it changes your body. Then the idea of that we have a society forever where men could take from a woman's body when they want, regardless if they were invited to or not. So when Nikki are talking, she's like, just the pain is different. And what men are experiencing now, maybe for the first time, is that pain. So it's in that lived experiences of women, of how they experience pain, how they experience uncertainty, how they navigate and solve these complex issues in the world and how they do it together, that we can not just look at and say, wow, that's good for you. Wow, that's really great for you. But that we can hear those lived experiences and see, how can I grow from that? How can I move? And this whole thing came from this excerpt from this book that Nikki sent me from Christina Cleveland. If you want to follow someone that is a influencer, who is a mover and shaker as a Black woman, Christina Cleveland. She is a theologian. She is an author. She's a speaker. I've heard her speak a couple times. She's outstanding. And her voice is critically important. But she writes this in this book. Her book is called Christ, Our Black Mother Speaks. And she often refers to God as she, or as the Black mother, because in the same way that it's easy to identify God as male, because it works for a lot of us, it's the same way. If God can be the fullness of a man, then God can be the fullness of a woman. And I would even say, if God is in all things, and God is in me, and God is in Nikki, and God isn't a man, and God is a woman, that God transcends what gender is. And it's in that space of where we try naming this God, of where we can see a bigger picture, fullness picture of who God is. And this is what she writes. It's so good. As mothers who are commissioned by the Great Mother, we all have the capacity to birth new life out of our pain. By participating in this creative, generative process, we become mothers to each other. But notice how Christ, our Black mother, sets up mutuality between us. She's not talking about hierarchy and subjugated service. Instead, mutual caregiving marks the relationship between us. And this isn't a command, it's an invitation to create something new. The act of mothering, of creating something new out of our pain, practicing mutuality instead of hierarchy, choosing self-love instead of internalized oppression, practicing intersectionality and refusing to let hegemony divide and conquer us, is the way we heal. In this way, we mother ourselves too. I love that. I've read that, I don't know, a dozen times in this past week, and it has moved me into a different space of how it is easy to have us versus them. It's easy to, when we experience pain, to stop, to shut it down, or to distance ourselves from that. And I love that she says that we can birth something beautiful, something new out of this pain. Mutuality is what marks our relationships instead of us versus them, that we can come together to bring life to ourselves and bring healing to everywhere we go. And it's interesting, because what it reminds me of is like the whole Sermon on the Mount. I was reading this, I'm like, this sounds exactly like Christ, because that's what she's speaking. This is what Christ does. And in Matthew 5, this is what Jesus says. This is what God does. This God gives the best of himself. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Grow up. You are kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lived towards you. I love that. There is this invitation of what we do is to be a Jesus-looking person. And what is a Jesus-looking person? Did Jesus come to show us what it looks like to be a real man and let the women figure it out for themselves? No. Jesus came to show us what it looks like to be fully human and how to flourish. And we have a Jesus-looking God. And what this God does is give, period. This generous God gives of itself over and over and over and over again. And what Jesus is speaking right before this is talking about what does love look like? And he uses the idea of you can love your friends, we're happy for you. But then Jesus expands that boundary all the way and gets rid of it and says, if you can love your friends, great. But you can look at your enemy, you can look at someone else who you deem different, who has a different lived experience than you, and say it is not as holy as my holy, it's not as sacred as my sacred, that your truth is truthier than their truth. Jesus is like, yeah, I'm over there too, just so you know. And they belong and they're included. And this is exactly what Christina is saying. Is that we can have this commonality, we can share life, we can live life, even though we might have different experiences, different spaces. But in the same way that this wealthy CEO on some board, how they belong, and the Christ is in them, in the same way it is for that illegal immigrant trying to cross that border to give their kid a better life. The Christ is in them. The Christ is in me as a man, and the Christ is in you. And it's when we can finally move from this place, and today we're celebrating women, we can, instead of saying, oh, that's cute for you, that's great for you, go team, instead we can look and say, how can I learn from your story? How can I let your voice and your leadership and your pain and how you've had to overcome those challenges and that resilience, how do I also let it shape and transform me? Because when we live in this bubble of like, well, you're a woman and I'm a man, therefore you just do this and I do this. Yesterday, I was at the, I didn't tell you this, Nikki. I was at the greenhouse, and in there, a teacher walked in who was my teacher, and his man, he's a great guy. And some guy, a couple people behind me, yelled, oh, hey, Jim Bag of Donuts, right? And said, oh, I won't let anyone know at school that you're at the greenhouse. And he said, why? He goes, yeah, you know, because it makes you look soft and all. And I turned around and looked at the guy. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Is this what we do as men? Is that we have to make sure we keep everything that defines us as men as like we're strong and we're great, and anything that might look different than our lived experience, that a man wants to get some flowers? No. But we need women. We need people who are different than us in every way and hear their voice. So here's to the teachers. Here's the women who've taught me. I think of Margo Dallas. Margo Dallas reminds me often that she is significantly older than me. And it's funny because it's true, and I hope she's watching. So we were at a groom's dinner, Nikki and I, and Margo and Boyd showed up, and we had no idea. So we had this stolen time, and we had the greatest conversation. We shut the place down. We talked for hours. We laughed, and we cried, and we were sharing with them some of the pain that we've experienced in the past year in our jobs, in our lives. And they listened, and they laughed, and at the end of it, I was crying, and she looked at me, and she said, well, guys, that pain you have, that's real, but buckle up, because the older you get, the pain gets significantly harder. And I looked at her, and I can still see her face, and she didn't say it mockingly. She didn't say it jokingly. She had this look on her face like that she embodied it, that she lived it. And in that moment, she shared some truth with me. And I still think about that. Of whatever I'm experiencing now, there's only going to be more later on. And even now, I'm okay and I belong. And in the future, I will as well. I think about my mom, Ann Sutter. I call her, hello, mother. I love it because it makes me laugh. My mom is resilient. And I watched my mom have to learn new skills. I watched my mom ask hard questions and move into different spaces. Some of those spaces were beautiful, And some of those spaces were really hard and really painful on her and on those around her. But the thing I love about my mom is she never, in the beautiful spots and in the painful spots, she never gave up. She never said, okay, now I'm done. Oh, that was too hard. Now I'm just going to tolerate it. I'm going to tolerate life. I'm going to tolerate theology. I'm going to tolerate spirituality. I'm going to tolerate. No, she kept persisting to move on and ask questions and learn and move. I've seen my mom evolve as a woman, as a human, as a spiritual person that is inspiring to me. Very inspiring to me. She has taught me what it looks like to be a curious person, to be a lifelong learner. So thank you, Mom. I think of Shirley Chisholm. I just learned about her recently. We're watching a show called Mrs. America. And she's the first Black woman to be voted into Congress in New York. And she was the first Black woman to run for president. And there's things I'm learning about women who have blazed a trail, not just for other women, not just for other Black women, but for people, of using their voice, of using their intellect, of using their political minds and never backing down. It is so inspiring. I think of the Me Too movement and the voices of women who people took of their bodies. And I've learned of how can we raise our voice? How can we inspire other men of what it looks like to have consent? Like that should be obvious, of what it looks like to be a compassionate person, what it looks like to be an ally, to be an advocate. And lastly, I think of my wife. I think of Nikki, because she's over here, that's what I'm looking at. I think of Nikki, of she's said the words love over fear, and she's lived that. Nikki has had some, you have had some incredibly hard things done to you and said to you in your life. And you've never just said, I'm moving on without you. You've let that pain hit you. You've let that pain stop you and to like experience it. But then you've always gotten back up and move forward. And that strength and that tenacity that you have, I see in our kids, I see it in our daughter, I see it around our friends, and I see it in me. So thank you for teaching. I love you. So here's what I'm inviting you into. Who are the teachers in your life? Who are the voices in your life? And let's see women. Let's advocate for women. Let's use, as men, let's use our privilege and our power and our voice and our platforms and our social media to recognize that there is something to be learned from their lived experiences. So where's my glass? I'll use my Nalgene right here. So to the teachers who have inspired me, who inspired us, here's to you. So let me pray. So God, we welcome you. And I thank you that you are in me, that you are in us. And I thank you for the gift of the diversity of this universe, the diversity of this earth, the diversity in each of us as individuals. I pray, God, that we could begin and continue to see each other as Christ bears, as image bears. And that we can ask the hard questions, we can make the hard statements, we can make time and space to hear people's stories, to hear people's solutions, to hear their creativity, and we can celebrate it and we can embody it as well, so that we can continue to transcend and include. I pray specifically for my friends who have lost their loved ones, they lost their mom, like 30 years ago or just a couple weeks ago. I pray that you will be with them. And as they feel that pain, as they feel that loss, like my friend Dietrich said, but I see you, Mom, everywhere. So I pray that we can see the good and beautiful things that these women have brought to this table and brought to this life. And we say thank you. And we love you, God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Oof, I love that. So friends, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Again, if there's anything we can do to partner with you, to connect with you, please feel free to reach out.